Take your Bibles, if you will, please. And thank you so much, choir, and we'll say more about that in just a little bit. But I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, please, chapter 1. And I want us to look at two verses, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 23. They talked about the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, so on and so forth. We need to cherish that beautiful name, just as they sang. In verse 21, Matthew 1, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." That means Savior. Comes from the word Joshua or Jehoshua. "They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that this story is not some kind of Greek mythology. This is the truth of the Word of God and has proven itself to be the truth in many, many ways. But what about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know a lot of different names. We know sports figures. A lot of us could name their names. We know great artists, maybe musicians, different people in politics. What about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do these names stand for? Jesus, Emmanuel, Savior, Lord. They stand for a lot of things. And I want to talk first of all about the comfort of the name of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there's no greater name for comfort than the name of Jesus Christ. Whenever you stand by the bedside of a loved one who is drawing their last breath, whenever you're there after they have passed away and you're at the funeral home and you see their remains, I want to promise you there's no name on the face of the earth that will comfort you like the name of Jesus Christ. There's no one that can bring comfort to people. I have that great responsibility, and I say what I can, do what I can. Some of the staff goes, and we try to do the best we can, but there's nothing that can bring the peace and comfort during that time like reminding them of who Jesus is. The very comfort of the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Thank God he is the resurrection and the life, because he was God in the flesh. And he lived that perfect life, died, paid our sin debt, and praise the Lord, he arose. And so at a time of sorrow, when we are bereaved and our loved one is gone, we remember, hey, there is a name. That name is Jesus, and that name means that as surely as he arose, our loved ones are going to come out of the grave, and they're going to be with Jesus, and they're going to be given a glorified body. Thank God for the comfort of his name. That name is comforting during a time of sorrow, also during a time of personal troubles. We go through trials and difficulties, problems in our lives. Sometimes we have physical problems. We have other problems that we face. What are we going to do with them? Where are we going to get help? Maybe from a relative, maybe from a friend, maybe from a counselor. But your greatest help, dear friend, is going to come from Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can help you like that during a time of trouble and difficulties, physical problems. One of the things I have to be part of is watching some of my people suffer physically. I never get used to it. I wish I could do something. I wish I was a real Benny Hinn that could really have the power to do what they claim they can do and could just touch people and heal them. But I cannot, neither can he. Healing comes only from God Almighty. And the prayer of faith heals the sick. It's God that has to do it. It is no individual person. But during those times of trial, we have to remember things like Paul said. And Paul said that Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." We don't know what Paul's problem was, ophthalmia, some kind of eye problem. But he had a lot of suffering, a lot of pain that went along with that. It was pretty obvious. But he said that God's grace was sufficient. It's the name of Jesus that'll see you through sorrow. It's the name of Jesus that'll see you through pain and disappointment and physical problems and financial reversals. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're all, unless the rapture takes place, we're all going to come to something we call death. We're going to come to something we call death. A very close acquaintance of mine preached in a church last Sunday. And they said, "We'll vote on you next Sunday, today." He died Friday. Had a heart attack. Took him out just like that. But I know him. And I know he was ready to go. And I know he loved the Lord. And I know, even though he had had some health problems and heart problems, he knew that he was ready. Pastor Johnny Ray, a friend of ours, a man that we've known a long time, went home to be with the Lord. But I promise you that the moment he died, the comfort and the presence of God was there just like that. And there was no other name like the name of Jesus to comfort him. Listen, you come to the end of it all. You come to the time of death, and I promise you there's no name like the name of Jesus when you're facing death and staring death right in the face. I've been there, seen it many times with different people. I'm remembering right now especially a man who had cancer, very bad, terrible situation. His body had gotten emaciated. He was down to almost nothing, looked like a prisoner of war. The cancer had eaten through some of his skin and all. He was pitiful. They took him, rushed him to the hospital. He had suffered for months. I led him to the Lord, and he knew that he was born again. We went up in the hospital room that day, and they called me. They said, "Pastor, would you please come? We think Dad's fixing to go over on the other side." And I went into that hospital room, and I talked to him a minute, and I talked to him about Jesus, and I said, "You know, Christ is right there. The Lord's there." And he sort of nodded. He was at the point he really wasn't talking, but he knew what I was saying. And all of a sudden, it was just as if he looked up in the sky, and he began to smile like he was seeing something, and I believe he was. Maybe Jesus. But he was seeing some wonderful things, and all of a sudden, he had a huge smile on his face. And immediately tears flowed. I don't mean just a tear or two. I mean they flowed down his cheeks with a great smile on his face. He drew his last breath and went home to be with Jesus Christ. There was no name I could give him that would comfort him. Socrates and Plato and all the rest, those names would mean nothing to you when you're dying, but Jesus' name. It's the only name. And you don't know, by the way, and neither do I, when we're going to die. The comfort of his name. What about the power of his name? Boy, what a powerful name that name is. That name points out sin, doesn't it? You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not so bad." You know why? Because they're comparing themselves with the worst person they can find. They say, "I'm not so bad." But compare yourself with Jesus. Compare yourself with who he really is, his perfection, all of that. And when we look at him, then our sins become evident. All of our sins, what we call our little sins, anything that's in our life that doesn't belong there, pride, sins of the flesh, and all of that. In Isaiah, we don't have time to read all those verses, but in Isaiah chapter 6, the first five verses, Isaiah saw the Lord. When he got through, he said, "Who in the world am I?" I'm putting it in our vernacular. "Who am I?" He said, I'm undone. I'm unclean. He's perfect, pristine, holy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. His name points out that we're sinners. But I'm glad I can tell you that his name represents hope for the worst sinner. I don't care who they are. Doesn't matter how deep we go into sin. I mean, there's going to be some ramifications, but when it comes to this matter of salvation, friend, let me tell you, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ gives you hope. Doesn't matter who it is. prostitutes, dope addicts, drunkards, the down and outers, the upper natters, those who are rich, those who are wealthy, all people in all walks of life. It doesn't matter how far you've drifted into sin. Let me tell you, Jesus will save you. Jesus Christ, Paul said, came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am chief. He said, I'm really a bad, bad, bad sinner. Oh, he was religious, but he's a sinner. A lot of religious people are going to die and go to hell. Do you know that? They're sinners, lost. They're depending on religion, good works, good deeds to get them to heaven. But that isn't what gets them there. The hope is to be found in Jesus Christ. And he said Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am one of the biggest. I am chief, Paul said. That's the way he looked at it. His name is powerful in that it challenges us to do our best. You ever get sort of sick of yourself? You ever think about it and just sort of say, man, I don't know. I'm hungry for something better than this. I'm hungry for the abundant life. I'm hungry to live up here. I don't want to be living down here. I don't want to be defeated. I don't want to be just a carnal Christian. I don't want to be just sort of drifting along on some kind of spiritual cruise control. I want to live up here. I want to live life on the highest plane. How are we going to do that? Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God cannot fully bless us until he has fully conquered us. And then when he has fully conquered us, when he has all of you and all of me, then he can bless us the way he wants to bless us. His name is a powerful name. It challenges me to do my best. When I look at him, when I think of him, when I heard these songs tonight, and I sat there on that front pew, and I was thinking in my heart and in my soul, as I would say amen occasionally, those songs were saying to me, Jesus is everything. And you need to give him your very best. You need to even rededicate your life tonight in your own heart and in your own ministry, because he deserves the very best. That name tells me I need to give him my best. Then there's not only the comfort of the name and the power of the name, but thirdly, there's the condemnation of the name. The condemnation of his name. What do you mean, preacher? How could such a sweet name be a condemning name? Well, John 3:18 gives us the answer. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you're saved tonight and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as your Savior, you are not condemned. Right now, you're not condemned. But he goes on to say, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And I'm not just talking about an intellectual belief of a historical figure. I'm talking about believing that he died for you, took your place, just like God said, and by faith you become one of those that are of the seed of Abraham, because you've been justified by faith, as Romans chapter 4 says. We are saved by faith, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he believeth, or he hath not believed, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why anybody is condemned, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten. The what? The name. The name of the only begotten Son of God. And so it is a name that teaches condemnation. And it says this, number one, if you have not believed upon Jesus and trusted his name and his work and all that he's done, you are right now condemned. You're under the penalty of God, the judgment of God, the wrath of God. If you die like that, friend, I tell you, in love and in compassion, if you die like that, you're going to go to hell. You're condemned, and you'll remain condemned. And you'll be condemned forever and ever. The Bible teaches there's a real hell. Condemned already, condemned forever with no chance of getting out of there, and condemned to a real place called hell. A real place called hell. You see, he has a wonderful name, doesn't he? Emmanuel, Jesus, Savior, he is our Lord. And that name is a comforting name. There's power in that name. But there's condemnation in that name if you refuse him, reject him, and do not get saved. If you're just trying to get there on your own, through churchianity, joining the church, baptismal, so-called baptismal regeneration, or anything else, friend, you won't get there. The only way to get there is trust the name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name. Cherish that beautiful name. Let's stand, please. How beautiful is the name of Jesus. In him, we have all we need. All we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head is bowed. What does that name mean to you tonight? Is he your Savior? You said, oh yes, I trusted him. I'm not going to hell. Well, then let me ask you this question. If you claim to be saved, is he Lord? Oh, you say, no, I'm in control of my life. I'm not doing what he wants me to do. He needs to be Savior and Lord. Lord and Savior. He needs to be Lord of your life. Are you living for him? He needs to be in control of your life, your habits, your thoughts, what you do, where you serve, all of those things. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to you tonight? And dear friend, if you're here without Christ, what a wonderful name it is. Savior. He wants to save you. He wants you to come to him, as I preached this morning. The last invitation in the Bible is come. Come. And he wants you tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what your background. You're not here by accident tonight. You're here in the providence of Almighty God. And God is offering you an opportunity to come to Christ and be saved. And there's only one name. The name Baptist doesn't save you. Any other denominational name does not save you. Your good works won't save you. It is the name of Jesus and what it stands for. He took your place. He was born to die. He came into this world and lived a perfect life so he could go to the cross and, thank God, pay for everybody's sin debt is in this building tonight. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, would you do it? If you need to rededicate your life, would you do it? We're going to have a song of invitation. We invite you to come. Father, thank you for the wonderful name of Jesus. And oh God, we do, as believers, cherish that name. May it be true that not only is Jesus our Savior, but that he is our Lord also, the Lord of our lives, in charge. And that our lives prove that. Our lives exhibit that we're not in charge, but he's in charge as believers. Then, Lord, help those that might be here tonight, any precious soul that is here without Christ, that they tonight would humble themselves before thee, walk this aisle, come forward, and accept Christ as their Savior. Commit their life to him. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.